Hi, it's Rob Forbes. Welcome to Safe Space on Jacaranda FM. In collaboration with Panda, the mental health app, for the month of November, we're looking at mental health and particularly men's mental health, having conversations with some experts and some famous guests, and just getting into what it means to be healthy in your mind, in your body, and for the people around you.
Men were supposed to play rugby. They were supposed to drink and handle their alcohol. I remember that. And, if you could grab as many chicks as possible, you know, you would be kind of the guy. And that was the messages. I mean, it was just quite insane.
Join us as we have these conversations every Tuesday for the month of November, exclusively to The Drive with Robin Roz on Jacaranda FM. We're having conversations around men's mental health and well-being, and I'm very pleased to be joined today by Alan Sweden, who is the clinical psychologist, is the founder of the Akesa Group of Clinics and so on, and he's also the founder of the Panda app alongside Alan Litz, so we're very privileged to have him in the studio today. iHope is here. He's a TikTok influencer, he's a rapper, and just a very cool human being who's been very open and shared a lot of his experiences. And Reinhard Hirhu is here as well, he's a well-known South African actor. Gentlemen, thanks so much for coming through.
Great. Thank you for having us.
Nice to be here. Yeah.
Alan, I wanted to start with you. Yeah. Panda obviously being part of your, brainchild. Tell us a little bit about the app and what you want to do with it.
Well, it came about during COVID. When I used to work at the Akesa Group of Hospitals, we got close to the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. And during COVID, they went from about 3,000 calls a month to apparently nearly 30,000 calls a month. And I realized there was this massive unmet need for South Africans, and I think it's actually worldwide, where about 75%, let's say, about that, of people who need mental health care just don't get it. And there are a few reasons for that, one of them being scarce resources. But the other ones are that people really just don't know how to access the system. You know, if you hurt your finger or something like that, you're playing rugby or something like that, you can go to the hospital, you can see a nurse. If the nurse is worried about it, they will refer you to a GP. If the GP is worried about it, they might send you for x-rays, and eventually you might end up with a surgeon. But there's a clear process to actually getting to what you need. With mental health, there really isn't anything like that at all. There's no clear triaging process, and so people just don't know how to enter the system. So we set up Panda so that people could enter the system anonymously, and they can find everything they need in mostly a very free platform.
Okay. Yeah, and that makes sense. All of the conversations I've seen online and so on, it's a resource lots of people would like to be able to access. And one of the main reasons is it's very difficult to find someone, and it's expensive. And I also, I understand you say scarce resource, as if, well, why don't we have more psychologists, just off the top of your head? But dealing with people and their mental health is a difficult thing, and it needs to be treated sensitively when you're training practitioners to do so.
So that's all true. But not every mental health problem needs to see a psychologist or to see a psychiatrist. There are wellness counselors, which have got a national qualification in basic counseling skills. They're registered counselors, they're social workers, there's different kinds of psychologists, and then eventually there's GPs and there's psychiatrists. So there's actually a whole range of mental health experts. And it's a bit like we could say that having a child and getting them some health care is very expensive if you're always going to a pediatrician. But if the child's got a snotty nose and you take them up to the local clinic, it might cost you 150 Rand to get, maybe a nose spray and some Panado or something like that. And then you can see from there how that goes. But a lot of people go straight to pediatricians in the same way that a lot of people go straight to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist, when I don't believe that that's always necessary.
Got you. Yeah, it was a topic that came up that we had a discussion on the radio and in preparing for these sessions. And it was sort of said, somehow mental health only really becomes a conversation when there's a crisis, as opposed to a practice, an ongoing thing that you can look after yourself with.
Yeah.
Can I ask the two of you, and I know it's candid and to be vulnerable and so on, especially in a room full of strangers, but where did your interest is the wrong word. Where did your experiences come from in terms of dealing with anxiety and depression and realizing that perhaps something wasn't okay and it doesn't have to be like this?
Yeah, so
I first experienced it. It was about 8 years ago. I was at a bride, a friend's house, and there was a lot of alcohol, and we consumed that that evening. And my mom said to me the next morning, "I've got to attend my brother's athletics, his high school athletics." And my mom was a little bit disappointed because she saw that I was still a little bit gekeier. And I said, I watched the athletics and I decided, okay, cool, it's time for me to go home, back to Joburg. And as I climbed onto the old Johannesburg Road, it was a rainy day like today. All of a sudden it felt like, if metaphorically speaking, it felt like as if the earth's roof came tumbling down on me. And I pulled over the car, climbed out of the car, splashed some water on my face and started hyperventilating. And I thought, listen, I'm going to get a heart attack. I thought my arm is going numb, my left arm is going numb. And for some reason I started crying and I got onto the highway and it started happening again. You know, pulled over at the garage and bought Energade and the energy bar, and phoned my girlfriend. I said to her, listen, this is what happened. Long story short, that was my first anxiety attack. And I never knew anything about, you know, a psychiatrist or a psychologist. And then a lady that used to work with my girlfriend then, well, my wife now, her sister is a psychologist, and she said to me I should go to the Akeso clinic. And I got to a psychiatrist, and then she diagnosed me with depression. But I didn't know it was underlying issues that started to boil up. And that was my first experience, you know, like having anxiety. So then after that, it was a long journey that I had to deal with certain stuff. I had to, you know, look myself in the mirror. I had to be honest with myself. But that was a journey. I mean, it's like I talk about it now being easy, but it was very, very, very difficult, you know, going through that journey. So, it's not fun.
Because
you know, like I've heard a lot of stories that, you know, like I still sometimes get anxious, you know, then I would think, listen, like my left arm is starting to feel pain, or you know, I'm gonna get a heart attack. And that's where, like, I still have anxiety like that sometimes, not as much as I used to, but no, it's still there.
No, you know, I'll be honest, just listening to you talk about that, I can feel the anxiety rising in my own pit of my stomach. Same, like I can feel it. Mm-hmm. Hope, yourself?
No, my first experience with anxiety was obviously since starting social media. You know, you are, my line of work is at home. I don't see people, I don't interact with people at home. It's like I do stuff, and that's that. When I first stepped into the public light, then realized, oh, we know you. It was like, okay, no, and then I started feeling like an expectation of people wanting me to be the person they see on the phone instead of like me, myself.
Yeah.
And then I started feeling a little bit socially anxious, but I didn't like connect it really with depression or anything. But my first time I realized that, well, I'm actually starting the first time I realized the whole topic of depression around myself was when I started seeing more like going into it on social media, like seeing more posts, like people talking about, no, but if you do this, TikTok is a huge information source. So then I was like, oh, no, but, you know, I thought sleeping a little bit more doesn't matter, or, you know, the signs. When I was, like, everything, people named the signs, and I was like, oh, no, it's actually happening to me. And I didn't know, like you said, underlying depression, like, they didn't know this is a problem. And I was like, okay, but how do we face this? And, of course, as you say, there wasn't not enough resources. And as a social media influencer, there's not always that amount of money to go see someone or anything. And I was raised by women. The topic being help from men, for men. It was like, can speak to my mom, but she doesn't understand, like, that, no, go be a man. It's nothing serious, no issue big. Like, just stand up for yourself and whatever. And it was like, just get over it.
Like, yeah.
No place for me to be vulnerable. And I don't know, especially with being like in the public eye, whenever I go places, I do feel a lot stressed and a lot, I want to, sometimes the emotions just come out because like events and everything, nothing because it's planned, but you're like, it's the first event I'm emceeing and like now all of a sudden this artist doesn't want me to do this and this person, now I'm feeling like, oh no, I'm starting again to fail everyone. I think failure was my main thing, but yeah, you can't just cry randomly, you know, people's like, well, what? Because of being a man and everything, but you can't let it out. And I think my depression started to affect me mostly then. Anxiety just kept growing and kept growing. Yeah. So yeah, no, I'm still trying to deal with everything on that, but yeah.
Yeah, I feel you. I lost my brother and my marriage in about the same month and a half. And I didn't realize you could have panic attacks in your sleep, but it's true. It's a real thing. Alan, while you're here, you're the man I want to ask these questions to. We're talking anxiety and depression and so on today. What is anxiety? How is it different from stress? And at what point does, you know, a normal amount of pressure and stress become anxiety and an issue? Like, what are the differences? Well, how can we understand it?
I mean, that's a great question. I think that, look, we all have worries and we all have stress and we all have anxiety to some degree.
Yeah.
But if you think that, like, the most important things that we can do in a 24-hour day is we can love and be loved. We can work and try to find meaning in our work, and we can play and rest. And as soon as those anxieties or worries or stresses or concerns start to interfere in an impactful kind of way in any of those major areas of our lives, I think that's when it starts to become something that's more clinically significant. I think that's it. And there's just such a big overlap between anxiety and depression. So when you go and see a GP or a psychiatrist and you're suffering from anxiety or panic attacks, the medication for anxiety can be very addictive. And so what happens is that they'll often give you an antidepressant, it takes a bit longer to kick in, but you don't get the effects straight away from taking an antidepressant, but over time it will lessen your anxiety and your depression symptoms. And so there's a lot of overlap between anxiety and depression. But I would say when it starts to interfere in those three major areas of your life, that's when it becomes significant.
That actually is a really good point, because I mean, there is a healthy level, as you say, of stress that simply comes with being alive.
Exactly.
You know?
We all have it.
Yeah.
But that's why, sorry to interrupt, but...
No, please, if you want to jump in a conversation, ask questions, go.
So, like I'm cutting a lot of the story, you know, like from my first anxiety attack. So I got diagnosed with bipolar disorder, bipolar 1, 6 years ago. And since then, I've been on Epitec, and recently they changed it to Stressum. Oh, well, I'm still on the Epitec, 400 milligrams a day, and Stressum and Contramol. So it's a hell of a lot of medication. And as I was driving to, you know, to do this podcast, I thought, like, I want to ask this question. I know that those medications have certain effects on your liver as well, you know, your health. And I actually did a test the other day and they said my liver levels are a little bit high. Does one get to go off the medication with the right help? You know, especially, you know, for me, like, I'd like to think one day I'd like to, you know, just eat fruit and vegetables, you know, exercise, you know, like, look at my well-being. But my answer to the medication question is, like, is it possible for somebody to work on themselves up until a point where you can get off the medication?
It's a very good question, also, because I've had people in my life, and you see on social media all the time, a lot of people are hesitant to seek out the help if they might need the medication, because it's not something you want to be on forever. I think it's a very good question.
So the medications that you're on are mood stabilizers and antidepressants.
Yes.
And then Stressum is for anxiety, but it's seen to be a non-addictive medication for anxiety. Mm. So with a mood disorder, that's often pretty organic, and you're probably going to need to control that for a long period of time. But it so much depends on when you get diagnosed, what is going on in your life. So bipolar 1, you have manic episodes and depression episodes, right? So it just depends so much on what's going on. You know, if you're like, let me give you another example. When we used to work in the clinics, we'd have 21 or 22-year-olds that would be brought in by their parents because they were addicts. and these guys would be partying too much and maybe drinking and smoking a bit of weed. If they received the label then of being an addict and the addiction kind of framework, which is, you know, you can never have a drink again, you can never smoke a joint again, you can never have a glass of champagne again, that's going to label them. So you have to understand context. So it might be really worth your while to keep on revisiting your psychiatrist and psychologist to keep on checking, does this still fit for me? If I went off it for a while, if I wean myself off the medication, what's my base level of functioning again? And then to build that up again.
Yes, Alan, I agree with you in terms of the label, because that's something that's been lingering at the back of my mind for quite some while, you know, in terms of being on the medication. Mood stabilizers, as you say, it's actually, yeah, bipolar disorder is like it's a mood stabilizer. So mine is not the manic, I don't have the manic episodes like, you know, going mull, if I can say it like that, but mine is more the depression side of things. Like I go into a dip. That's what happened before the, you know, before I got diagnosed, I used to go into the dips. Now I'm trying to find the answer in terms of those dips. You know, what is it that I can do besides medication, you know, to sort that out? Because I'd like to think that I'm, you know, a healthy 36-year-old. I exercise, I eat quite well, I eliminated stress. I really try and, you know, read a lot, listening to, you know, good music. You know, so mine was just like a depression of like, I don't know why I feel so slumpy, you know, back then. So that's actually the you know, like what I'm getting at is like, isn't it something that you can fix, you know, maybe I don't know, join a yoga class or something like that, or maybe monitor your friends or monitor the intake of stuff, you know, like you know, television or whatever. Not that I'm saying I'm doing too much of it, but I just that's a very interesting topic for me to maybe think. Yes, you know, I watched Zac Efron's Down to Earth on Netflix. You know, maybe I can go and live on an island and just live on fruit and vegetables. I don't know. Yeah. It's a tough one.
It is a tough one, yeah. I think definitely, like, as he says, you don't want to say too much of television, of course, but I think there can be a point where it gets you, not consumed, but you are putting so much out of yourself. I think that can get a little bit
I think the label too much. The label thing is the one thing that's interesting, now that you've mentioned it, because I'd like to think that I can have a glass of wine in a couple of years' time. I'd like to think that, you know, because I had a problem with alcohol and the use of marijuana. So I'd like to think that maybe it is possible for me to hold a glass of wine in my
Absolutely.
Hand.
No one wants to have to take something on for themselves that they don't like and wear it like a yoke, you know? Mm. I mean, when you first realized that everything might not be 100, what had you heard about depression up until that point? What was in your head?
Only thing I've ever heard was it's bad, and you know, it's attention seeking. That's the main thing. No, definitely the main thing. But now again, these days, when you look on social media, people are saying now it's just a trend. Now it's the same thing, like attention seeking. So it was like, I didn't want to believe that. No, I'm not depressed. I don't want to go seek help now. Now he's seeking attention and, you know, this and this and this. So that was the first thing, the main idea I had about depression from other people, not from professionals, was now, but it's attention seeking and this and this. We didn't...
You just toughen up, you'll be
toughen
fine.
Up or... exactly. And yeah, so it was no conversations about how should we deal with this. And I had to YouTube, like, is it real? Like, does it exist then? I mean, when you take Andrew Tate now as well, he says it doesn't even exist. It's a huge guy, a huge platform who speaks for all men. It's like, okay, so maybe this is just me.
Meanwhile, Oaks is just out there talking nonsense. Alan, I wanted to ask you, because I've done some reading on this, and I think a lot of people have heard the message of depression is just a chemical imbalance in your brain. And then if you get the right medication, then the balance of hormones will sort itself out and you'll be fine. But it's not really that simplistic.
Well, I don't think so. So, I mean, I think that there are lots of ways of understanding a depressive episode or somebody who suffers.
What does a depressive episode look like?
A depressive episode is where you have a change in your life across different factors. So it would affect your sleep, your appetite, your libido, the things that you used to enjoy, and the mood that you return to, those would all be affected in some way for a period of over 2 weeks and up to 6 weeks, and you'd think about that as a depressive episode, for which you may need some kind of intervention because it's going on too long. We all have good days and bad days, but if you if you had a bad 6 weeks, then it might be time to really kind of, or all your symptoms are extreme, in a way, then it would be time to look for some help for depression. So I mean, I think that depression is multifaceted. I mean, there's a huge debate at the moment whether SSRI medications like Prozac or Zoloft or those things actually are linked to depression. I mean, there's, you know, it's a debate, really.
Yeah.
The pharmaceutical companies don't like to talk about it, but the truth is, there is a debate around what actually works for depression. So, you know, for me, I mean, I've also suffered with depression from time to time. My chosen route to get well has been therapy, has been long-term therapy. Yeah. But there have been times when I've needed to take an antidepressant to kind of just help me through difficult periods of time.
And the one thing I saw on the app, we are out of time, so we're going to have to close here, which is unfortunate because I'm loving this conversation. One thing I did see on the app is there's a standardized test that you can go and sort of 27-point check in, or a scale of 1 to 27. Tell us about it. I know you can go and do it on the Panda app.
Oh, so on the Panda app, you can do free assessments. You can do anxiety, depression, anger, social media use. You can check your relationship out. And what we've done is we've gone through and we've said, if you score this, then try access the system at this point. And if you score this, then maybe you need to see a GP. And if you score that, you need to see a psychiatrist. But you can go onto the app. You can do all these assessments for free. And we suggest, because we're not a doctor.
Sure.
So we can just say, based on all the readings we've done, this is what we suggest, how you enter the system.
Yeah, because, and it comes back to that point I made earlier of interventions don't always have to be when it's a crisis. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're feeling a little flat for a couple of days, then maybe there are some mindfulness exercises.
Yeah. All on the app.
Yeah, a couple more things you can do so that it doesn't have to become a 6 week and then a 12 week and then a 6 month episode that now we have an issue that we need to medicate and treat and so on.
We really are trying to make people become, or help people become more proactive about their mental health. And go on the app. It's fun. We have sessions 12 hours a day, 365 days a year. You're going to find something that's worth talking about.
Last question then. If someone does have periods of anxiety, because I think almost all of us do at some point, are there a couple of things we can do to just help bring ourselves down a bit?
There are. I think that if you have anxiety that's really affecting your life in a significant way, then I think it's really important to see your GP. That'd be the place that I would start, and try to find, you know, a sensible GP that's not immediately going to, you know, send you to a psychiatrist or medicate you. There's breathing techniques that are really fantastic that you can find on the internet. There's calm.com, which is a good app. There's stuff on Panda. So look for a solution that really fits your life at that time. And if that doesn't work, then escalate it.
Perfect.
Sure.
Reinhard?
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Yeah, yes, Alan, it's really a pleasure listening to you, because I think, like you guys said, there's so much information out there, but it's so lucky to sit around a table and just to, you know, hear firsthand of stuff that you can do. I'm definitely going to download the app. Yeah.
Please do. Join Panda.
Yeah. I just, my last question, if you work with somebody or somebody close to you and you check, listen, you know, there might be something like, it's so
something's off.
Yes, it's so difficult and it's really somebody that you care about. I mean, like, what would your advice be, in terms of somebody, you know, like to help somebody like that, you know, the approach for me to approach somebody like that, because I think there's a lot of us in our lives, we know people that need help, but I think they're sometimes a little bit stubborn,
too scared
in a way.
It's difficult to help someone who doesn't think they need help.
It is difficult.
That's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
I think just gently encouraging them, and then at some point, especially if it's around addiction or something like that, then you might need to practice boundaries. They call it tough love, but really what it is, just setting boundaries and just saying, I can't be with you. It's too difficult at the moment until you go and get yourself some help, because I love you and it's too hard to see you like this, which is very hard to do. It's easy to say.
It's good advice.
Yeah.
Reinhard, Hope, Alan, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Lovely to be here.
Thanks for coming through.
Thank you. Thank you. Good.
Jacaranda FM.
That's it for this week's episode of Safe Space, exclusive to Jacaranda FM in collaboration with Panda. If you missed this episode, you want to hear more, or you want to go and listen to some of the other episodes, go and check it out on jacarandafm.com. Click on Jackpod.